Hello and welcome to the Jonathan Bell Show. This is a show documenting my journey after quitting my 9-to-5 job to pursue a career being a creative. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Today I have Brandon Crumbly on like a crumbly cookie. He just told me this too before I hit record. Dang it. And I totally already messed that up. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So you are a music producer.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that for?
I have been producing, I would say, for about 9 years, but I have been making and playing music for about 25 years.
Oh, and what instruments do you play?
Keys, drums, and harp.
Oh, dang. I don't think I've really ever met anybody that plays a harp.
That's really interesting because, like, playing the harp is, I would say, akin to playing the piano. If you can play the piano, you can play the harp because it's the same interval structure. So, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice. So, what made you want to transition from just playing instruments to actually producing your own music?
Okay, so I have a very, very interesting story. So growing up, as a person who was really into video games, I noticed that I would get really into the soundtracks of the video games. So like Mario, Sonic the Hedgehog, and then I noticed some of the PlayStation 1 games that I think I accidentally placed it in a CD drive, and it started playing the soundtrack. And after that, I got really, really invested in finding different video game soundtracks and playing them. My father is like a virtuoso. He's an amazing keyboardist. And he was also my theory teacher in high school. And I remember this kid whose name was also Brandon, who he was making tracks off of this keyboard called the Triton LE. Most notably, I think the Neptunes used this keyboard, and he played a beat off of it, and something said, if I hang around this kid, I'm going to learn a lot. And then I also thought to myself, you know, if I just take my piano skills and my drum skills and I splice them together, then maybe I can I can come out and do something else, which is, you know, what I do today, which is just music production, you know. And ever since then, I have been making it terribly up until my mid-20s, where I started saying, okay, like, I really seriously want to do this for a living.
And so what's some of the learning curves that you, well, first of all, that's pretty awesome with the soundtrack. I had no idea that it, you put a game in and it plays music, so that's,
yeah,
that's something else. And then, yeah. I guess, so what were some of the learning curves when you say terribly to now?
Okay, so the interesting thing was, I think theory really helped me. My father being my music theory teacher really helped me, because in a way it's like I learned a lot by ear. You know, I grew up watching things like Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and kids' TV shows and playing video games and just listening and trying to replay what I was listening to, whether it be on TV or not. And I noticed that it was kind of like stumbling, you know what I mean? Like trying to run when you don't know how to walk. And what I think music theory does is it's a way to help you learn how to walk. It's kind of like a flashlight in the dark, if that makes any sense. Like you don't know where you're going, and music theory is a map, you know, or it's a flashlight. It's a way to tell you what you're doing, and also how to get to the next step, because really music is all about telling stories, you know, and what story you want to create. So that's what really helped me out.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know, like, I can't, like, days and weeks are all together now, but you recently did like a bunch of remixes to a bunch of Disney songs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and those are actually pretty dang awesome. What gave you the idea for that?
You know, one thing about sampling, you know, or how I tend to look at sampling is music to me is all about memory. You know, I remember specific songs where I would listen to it and I would think, I would know where I was when I first heard it, what I was wearing, what I was doing. And I think with Disney in particular, they're things that we grow up, you know, the things that retain our innocence within us. And I also have a couple of nephews, and I just thought it would be kind of cool to like make a 2019 version of what they grew up loving. I mean, it's just like a musical way of doing what Disney's doing now, where they're like taking beloved 90s classics and turning them into live action films. And so with beat making, because I think music is a lot of memory, it has to do for me, like, you know, like making music and everything has to do with how do I try to retain that innocence, but give it a little kick. You know what I mean? Like give it just, it's almost like updating an old recipe that you had once. And yeah, I mean, like I like doing that, or rather I did it as a way to kind of remind myself of the joy I had when I was a youngster, like when I was a child, you know, the things that I grew up loving, the things I grew up watching and listening. And the joy that comes from people's faces, like the things that they write to me, the things that they feel upon listening to it. I think that makes all the difference in the world. And it's why I wanted to keep going. So I was looking for songs that like we all grew up to, that we loved, and just kind of replayed it over again. And, you know, like I think sampling, is an art into itself. And I don't sample much anymore, but I think sampling is like taking your favorite memory or something that you love and playing that memory over and over and over and over again. And I can see why I like doing it now, because as a musician, it's easy to disrespect sampling. You know, it's very easy to think that you're better than somebody who samples. But I think sampling is an art into itself. I think it's like alchemy or something like that, you know, where you're just restructuring something to create something else that's even, you know, more beautiful than the last thing, you know. So I think with that and taking Disney songs in particular, it reminds you of the innocence, but at the same time, you can play that over and over and over again, you know, so just retains that little innocence that we have in us, you know.
Yeah, that actually totally makes sense. And you're right, a lot of people hate on musicians and stuff for sampling and taking things, but at the same time, I mean, it's, I don't even know how to articulate what I'm saying, but I totally feel you. Because, I mean, I with the photography and all, you know, you have those people that are like, oh, you use computers and Photoshop and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, I use a darkroom and I'm better than you. And I'm just like, you know what? If you got something in your mind that you want to put out like audibly or tangibly and you're good at it, then it doesn't matter how you come to that point, as long as you come to that point.
Yep, I completely agree. And it's, I think for me, it's all about the joy that you, like, you can always tell when someone loves what they do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, even seeing your work, I can tell that you love doing this. You know what I mean? And it's really easy to see. And the interesting is, thing now is we have a lot of people who are trying to convince us that they love what they do. Like they're trying to convince us that they're artists. They're trying to convince us, you know, that they are different, that they're these things. And I think when you are authentically yourself, there's a stillness to you. There's a way of not trying to prove yourself to someone. And you just really just do it from your heart. You really do have that passion within you, you know? And I think a lot of people kind of take that for granted, where they're trying to convince other people, because if I can convince you that I like what I do, then obviously I must be really good at it because I've convinced you, instead of saying to myself, how can I use the arts to better understand who I am?
Dang, that's pretty good, bro. That's pretty dang good. Thank you for that. That makes a lot of sense. So what advice would you give people that, well, I guess to say like, so how hard was it for you with the whole music theory and everything, like to go from just playing stuff to actually playing, to record, to putting it into a computer? Was it all daunting? Was it challenging? Or what was that leap like to actually go digitally?
You know, the interesting thing about making music for me is I noticed that the creative arts is just an expansion of who you already are, right? Like, I feel like the creative arts is an amplifier, right? Like, so who I already am, I put into my music, and that's what makes it good. That's what makes it great. That's what makes it lovely. And I noticed that one thing I always liked was the process of arranging things. You know what I mean? Like, I like making music, but arranging it, and it's almost like taking puzzle pieces and putting it together. I've always loved doing stuff like that, and it amplified when I started making music. So when I'm making music, I just love the, not necessarily the, like, not to say that I don't like the recording process, but I love the arranging process. I love putting pieces here and dropping this out and listening to it 100 times to see if I got the effect right, or this is too loud, or this is too soft. To me, it's no different than like, no different than a superhero testing out his abilities and his powers, or it's no different than Tony Stark being in his office and trying to figure out if he tinkers with this, will, you know, will this happen? Or if I tinker with, you know, with this suit this way, how can I make this suit better? Like, that's how it feels to me when I'm making music, you know, when I'm in my lab, when I'm in my element. And the stumbling part came, or it, you know, sometimes it still does, when I'm trying to attach myself to a certain persona musically, like if I'm trying to be like someone else, or trying to act like a certain type of producer, or just trying to act like someone else. And I think that's where the stumbling happens, you know, like where you're trying to create something that's not genuine, that's not authentically you, you know, like Bruce Lee has this saying where he talks about, really, all martial arts is expressing yourself without lying to yourself. And I think that's, when I learned that philosophy, it became a lot easier for me to make the music and be happy with it and find joy in it, because I'm not trying to attach myself to a certain aesthetic, you know, creatively. I'm totally and completely in my element because I'm being honest with who I am, you know? And I think that's where it becomes a lot easier for me to navigate how I create music, you know? Because I love doing what I do. I love it.
But yeah, I mean, I understand that part, what you're saying. So how long did that hurdle kind of take you to get out of your own way?
I would say a couple of years, you know. I think it's different for everyone, but it took me a couple of years of not trying to be other people, of just authentically, unapologetically being myself creatively. But yeah, after that, you know, and of course, you know, there's a learning curve of trying to take trying to mesh the beat maker in you and the musician in you, you know, because I think a lot of people, and you can hear it in their sounds, which person is more so a beat maker and which person kind of, maybe they grew up in the church and you can hear it in their songs, like you can hear it in their music, or like this person is more piano based or melody based versus this person is more drum based. But yeah.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that happened. But you're right, you know, it's I think in every medium, I think that's like one of the hardest things to try to learn from, because you have everybody pretty much judging you for what's already out in the world, and that already cloud of comparison above you. Like, I'm going to use this as an example. So last week I went up to Canada to shoot, and I went into a museum. to take some photos of this like astronaut spacesuit I had, you know. And that museum there has a Picasso exhibit in it. And so while I'm trying to shoot, like take these self-portraits in the museum and everything, there's literally maybe like 7 or 8 other photographers in there with a bunch of prom girls in their dresses getting all their senior portraits done or prom photos done or whatever the heck the kids do nowadays, you know. But it was just funny because all the adult, this was like at 3 in the afternoon too, so the only people there were like like adults and you know, photographers. And it was just funny watching everybody's face look at all the girls in their dresses and like, you know, have that smile of like, how cute, she's getting her photos done, you know. And then they turn a corner and see me with this big, huge astronaut mask on, you know, trying to take photos. And you could just see this look in their face like, what in the world is this freaking guy doing, you know? But ironically, like it happened like, because we were all hanging out around outside of where the Picasso exhibit was. And it just made me think, like, you're walking out of an exhibit of a dude. I mean, Picasso, if you don't, everybody should know the backstory of him. But I mean, like, you go in there and you appreciate his stuff now. But can you imagine when he was, what he had to go through then? You know what I mean? And so it's just like such an irony thing with these people walking out with such an appreciation for a guy who wasn't really popular, you know, while he was painting, to walk out of an exhibit to see something from a guy like that, to then go and immediately look like, what the heck is this guy doing? You know, it like kind of hit me. I was just like, this is so strange. But so it does take a bunch, especially, you know, photography, music, whatever you do, there's all these trends and everything's going on. So it does get a little bit hard to get out of your own way, but it's a good thing when it does happen.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, so for anybody that like wants to start, like what advice, well, what are some of the learning curves you would give from your post terrible part until now?
One, what do you enjoy? Like, do you want to play music? Like, do you feel like you even need to? I think understanding what your voice is and what you want to do, like whether or not you want to, I don't know, make beats or you want to be a film. I mean, there's so many different types of ways to make music now. Like, I've seen a guy where he takes film clips and he makes melodies from film clips that he cuts and edits and samples. You know what I mean? There's so many, like hundreds of thousands of ways to make music. But I think it really just depends on what you like to do. I mean, I grew up, you know, my father's this amazing piano player. And I have, you know, this cousin who like plays the drums for almost everybody in the industry. So I grew up in a very musical family. So for me, it was always like, okay, how can I take this to the next step? Also, not taking anything too seriously, you know, I think that's a really big help. And it'll really de-stress you, you know? I think when I first started making music, I would take it so seriously what people thought of it and what they didn't think of it and what they said and they didn't say. You know, and it just really clouded my judgment on certain things. So I just stopped doing that. I stopped judging myself for where I was and just really got into the present moment and allowing myself to live there and to be there and to feel those things. You know, I would say, I mean, if advice is the word, I mean, that's all the only really things I have to say, because I think in answering those things, you will really start to be your authentic self. And you want to allow people to make you feel a certain type of way when you are creating it, you know? So, like, figure out what you like. Like, do you like mashing buttons? Do you like editing? Do you like arranging? You know, do you like sampling? Do you like playing? You know, because I think all of those things have to do with those things, you know? Like, with creating, you know, the process of creating. There are people who love to edit. There are people who love just the recording process. There are people who are more melody based and people who are more drum based. It just depends on what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And so everybody needs to go listen to you, and especially your Disney remixes that you've done. So where can people find you on the internet?
You can literally find me everywhere. SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, and it's all under I Love Brandon. You know, so I Love Brandon, EYELOVEBRANDON. You can find me anywhere. Instagram, Twitter, anywhere, any and everywhere. You can find me. I'm all over. Just look up I Love Brandon and find me.
Oh, you know, I was going to end right now, but I forgot that once you said Apple Music, I do want to ask you one more thing. So how much time and effort and how great did it feel when you put your EP up on the internet?
Okay, so the funny thing was, the first thing I thought was a relief, you know, because I had been making and listening and recording and arranging and rearranging this one EP for months, where I had gotten tired of it. It's funny how, like, we as creatives, right? Like, when people see the finished product of what we do, they don't realize that we have been looking and listening and editing and rearranging these things for sometimes weeks and months. Yeah, and when we finally put it out, it's like, oh man, this is new. How does this feel? And a lot of times you want to say exhausted, because I've been working on this one thing for weeks now and it's finally out. I'm just ready for it to be out. And it's interesting. So like when I created this EP, you know, my most recent EP, Earth and Sky, I was just thinking about putting something up in terms of what I was feeling at the time. And not even only that, but I kind of want to make music to where I feel as though my listeners are the inhabitants of the world that I'm creating. So I see my music as an entire universe, and my audience are people that inhabit that universe. So when I created Earth and Sky, I wanted it to kind of be like story based, you know? And I also was really, really geared to making music towards people who deal with depression and anxiety. As the son of a parent who has manic depression, it was important for me to make music for people that deal with that. And I notice when I have a lot of people that they listen to my stuff or whatever, the number one thing I always get in compliments, there's always a sense of healing when they listen to it. And so I wanted to craft this EP for them. So I put out my first song on Spotify last year, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, I was just excited that this was the first time I put something out on Spotify, and it got 800,000 plays off of one song. Dang. And I was like, whoa, wow, this is one song.
That's pretty dang awesome, bro.
I was really, really like excited about that, because I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, you know, if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I just know that this is special to me, so I'm going to put it out. And it's, you know, the EP itself is almost at 1 million now. And I'm really, really thankful for that. And, you know, there's more to the story. So, yeah.
So now you're working on your junior, senior songs. Junior would be the next one.
The next one I'm working on is going to be called Moonbeam Dreams, which is kind of like a sequel to Earth and Sky. And I'm gearing up for a lengthy, you know, like LP, which I've been doing with a couple musicians that are kind of in my circle. But I'm kind of doing it where we're kind of all playing on all the tracks, because I want it to be very story based and everything like that. Like, I'm creating it like a film composer creates a soundtrack to an album, you know, like that's what I'm trying to do. So piano, keys, guitar, saxophone, like I'm just getting my musicians in order so I can like make it with them. And it's, man, when you hear this, you're really, really going to enjoy it, I think.
Oh, I believe it. I do love me some great soundtrack. So it's exciting. You're working on something that's story driven like this. That's pretty dang awesome, Brandon.
Thank you.
Well, once again, thanks for coming on. And like I said, everybody, go check it out, Earth and Sky on Spotify, and look up I Love Brandon, E-Y-E, Love Brandon. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show, making some time to talk and share your story with everybody. And I really, honestly, truly appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me again.
All right, you, no problem. Have a good rest of the day, bro.
You too. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, folks, for tuning in. He's a really cool dude, and his music is awesome. Check it out, Earth and Sky, Spotify, Apple Music. I'll see you in the next episode.